Welcome back, friends. And maybe we've been enjoying these themes, these ideas, and here is another major theme of Isaiah. And maybe it'll be our favorite. Maybe it will. Return and the King. So God will discipline and judge all evil. Emmanuel, the sign. Isaiah 7:14, right? The virgin will be with child. There will be a new Davidic king and a new creation, Isaiah 9 and chapters 9 and 11. And there's a highway back to God, a new Exodus, Isaiah 35. A heavenly feast and the defeat of death, Isaiah 25. As I was looking at these themes, Augustine's timeless quote, that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is made manifest in the New, and that the Holy Spirit is the author of it all. There are four senses of Scripture, and we're going to zero in. So now we're coming into the Christological state. So now we're reading the prophets as Christian scripture, if you will, coming back to Professor Tully's work. How does prophecy work? What about fulfillments? And then there's a new Exodus or Emmanuel. So as Christians looking at prophecy, we have a vantage point of Christ, because Paul tells us that all the promises of God are a yes in him and Christ. And that's a real help, right? 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. So looking back from Christ, we always see Christ is the ultimate and most perfect fulfillment of all of God's promises and oracles. But if we start off from the time of the prophet and his audience, without that incredible benefit of Christ, so we see that there's generally more than one fulfillment, and usually there's a partial fulfillment, because that's one of the criteria for knowing if a prophet is good is do his prophecies come true? Right. And it only takes one to miss for him to be out.
Right.
So think about the new Exodus. Jesus is our new Passover lamb, as the New Testament says. In him, our Exodus is perfect. Because he not just leads his people from one geographical location to another, but he's leading us out of sin and through our wilderness and pilgrimage in this life to a perfect and eternal home in heaven with him. And this is truest and greatest fulfillment, that promise of a new Exodus to save God's people. But there was actually a geographical return from the people of Judah's exile, and they did rebuild the temple, and then where the places in the Old Testament says God fulfilled his promise to bring us back. Well, you know, there was that partial fulfillment. So yes, in a partial fulfillment, and yes, in a in the larger scheme of things. Thoughts there before we go into suffering servant?
Well, yeah, I love that it's this idea of all of our promises find their yes in Christ, all of God's promises, and how there's this longing in each of us who are in relationship with Christ for his return. And it feels like this partial fulfillment we're awaiting, you know, and even through that, it's like, it's similar to the suffering I feel where God is with us, even still in the midst of our longing and waiting for him to come back.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There are another major component, a major theme is the suffering servant who is innocent, but he suffers the penalty with and for his people. So partial fulfillment can be seen in other prophets or with other figures such as King Hezekiah, Isaiah 49-50. The servant is a light to Israel and to the nations. He's anointed by God's Spirit. He entrusts his right to God though beaten by enemies and mocked by friends. He embodies the people and suffers with them, though he is innocent. Isaiah 52-53, the servant's suffering, though none understood it, is an acceptable offering to God for the people. The innocent servant will be victorious on the other side of death and share the spoils with others. So, what is a Messiah? The Bible itself says Cyrus is a Messiah. So does this undermine our confidence in Jesus? No, it doesn't undermine our confidence. Did it undermine yours?
No.
No, okay. Messiah, right? Anointed, Greek word, cryo, to anoint, Christos, Christ. Someone's anointed with oil in the name of God. And there are lots of these people in the sacred scriptures. All of the kings were anointed, both in Israel and Judah. Priests were anointed. Prophets were anointed. People were anointed for a particular task. To say someone is a Messiah does not imply divinity. Usually, they are a king or anointed as a priest or for a particular task for God. Cyrus is not the Messiah in the sense he is a single great savior of God or that he is the Lord. He has a particular job to do. God is giving him, even though Cyrus does not know God. Kings are not anointed to be priests. They are anointed to be kings and do that job. Prophets just anointed to do that job, which is priests. So in the history of ancient Israel, there was a growing expectation of one particular Messiah among many people, and that he was the one that God had spoken of in this new Davidic king. And that he would be coming. And it's this fulfillment we find in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the anointed king to rule over his people in justice, to save them from sin and powers of evil, and lead us to everlasting life. He is the Christ, the Christos. All of us have a small anointing in Christ because we are baptized into him and confirmed or anointed with the oil of chrism, which comes, of course, from Christos, in the name of God, if we have that in our faith tradition. We are marked with God's blessing for the task of being his people and his witnesses in the world. And that's all part of what that is.
That's beautiful. And it's an invitation for us to learn how to be suffering servants ourselves.
Indeed, it is. Indeed it is, because right where the master has trod, we too will go. That's right. All right, my friends, we'll pick up in the next style, in the next episode, about David, the Davidic king after the exile. Till then, my friends, fide sedrace.